Well, some of you weren't here last time we did this in 2016, but Paris, whom I've known probably since about 2015-ish, is one of the fine young men in this area that is working day and night behind the scenes in a very hard area of ministry, high poverty, high crime, all kinds of things. And he gets up every day, and he puts on the armor of God, and he goes out into the streets of the city of Houston, and he is salt and light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's been attacked. His house has been riddled with bullets. He's been marginalized and ostracized, and yet he sticks to it. And so when we look at Hebrews chapter 12, and when we talk about being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and when we talk about making your faith matter, and when we talk about you are responsible for the choices you make no matter how hard the situation that you're in, Paris comes with a level of credibility that few people I know can carry. And so he just seemed like the logical choice when we as a staff kind of talked about, what do we want the weekend to be about? We want it to be about perseverance, and we want it to be about, how do I change my life to honor Christ in such a way that I can be that person where I am? And nobody brings better integrity to the table for this subject than Paris does. He pastors Agape Community Bible Church in the Alief area, Bissonnette and Cook Road, if you're familiar with that part of the city. 10 years. And they and he have a hard work, but they see fruit, and they see life change, and they see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's a great pleasure that we can have him back with us. And so I know you'll listen attentively, and I know he will speak to you in such a way that your heart will be touched and changed. So let's pray for Paris, and then let him take the stage. Father God, we pray again for your anointing to be on our friend, and for his words to breathe forth the gospel life into us, so that we might be able to persevere, and that we may be able to choose the things of the gospel when the rest of the world says, don't choose gospel things. May we be reminded that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The people are watching. The kingdom is watching. May we rise to your level of expectation so that the witnesses may cheer in celebration for obedient lives well lived in your presence. We thank you for our time together now. It is yours. Handle it as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't want to get started without first saying thank you for having me back here, and thank you for the invitation to come back, and to thank you all for your prayers and for your love over my family and the ministry that I have out in Alief, the Alief area. There was a time about, I don't know, maybe a year ago now, it's hard for me to keep track now, where things did not look too well at all. And a lot came and support and helped us, and a lot of you guys sent love and sent letters. And actually, a few of the men came actually to visit me on a Wednesday afternoon. And just like you're running a marathon by yourself, all of a sudden people pop up who are thinking about you, or you get a letter in the mail from someone who's thinking about you, and all of a sudden you realize you're not alone, and there are people who you can... So let me get back to what I was saying. This past week, as Pastor Kevin alluded to, was very difficult for me. In my ministry, I deal a lot with homeless youth. In the district that I'm in, it is highly known for its unfortunate activity dealing with nightlife. And for the kids in the room, I'll allow the adults to cogitate on that and determine what I'm talking about. However, a large part of that means that a lot of kids go homeless in my area. And I had to make a very unfortunate and a very unplanned staffing change. Someone who is a live-in mentor in one of the homes that I operate. And just this week was very difficult. And in going through that week, at the same time planning for this, and I'm planning, Lord, what does South Belt need to hear that will impact them for the gospel, that will encourage them, that will help them along with their walk? And I'm dealing with all these things in my own ministry, not sleeping, trying to figure out how I can make this unfortunate, unplanned staffing change. That's a difficult decision. And all of a sudden, I hear from God, you're thinking about the middle when you should be thinking about the end. Stop thinking about the middle and think about the end. The end is what I've asked you to do. And so took a deep breath and I said, okay, Lord, let me remind myself what the end is. What am I here doing? Because all of these things in the middle only matter when I do them well. And when I do them not well, they matter even worse because they're going to affect me getting to the end. And so these things that I want to share with you now are all of the thoughts that the Lord poured into my heart when I heard that voice from him. Think about the end and stop thinking about the middle. When you think about perseverance, when you think about a marathon, how many of you guys would think a marathon runner would be partying the night before a marathon? I doubt that that runner is thinking about the end of that race. And so I want to share with you a few thoughts, a few things, and over the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, about how you can persevere through any race that you're in, that you think about the end and not the middle. All of us have a middle. All of us have a goal that God has given us, a voice from God that he has shared with us, and that is the end. However, God rarely reveals to us all the difficulties we'll have in the middle. He doesn't share the fact that mom's going to come down with this, and dad may come down with this, and you may come down with cancer. All of that is in the middle between now and reaching the end goal of obedience to Christ with what your calling is. Well, today I hope that this can be the beginning of something that when you add all of these speeches together that would help you finish your race and finish your course with your eyes on Christ. I want to talk to you a little bit about the end of verse 1. I have a picture I want to show you that kind of resembles what my week was like. And it's a man with a chain with a foot. Do you have that picture for me? And I promise you, this is not a picture of my marriage. This is a picture of a man with a foot with a ball on it, okay? So my wife was like, are you trying to make fun of me? I was like, no, baby, that's not you. That's not us. I've been married 20 years now, 20 years in April. Y'all supposed to clap. Okay, there we go. 20 years in April, and we have three beautiful kids. Actually, four. Three are ours, and we've adopted one. And we are living life to the fullest with much excitement. I want to share with you the latter part of this verse, because even though it comes at the end, this is what's going to lead us into the understanding, I believe, of the rest of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Here's the end. Let's lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily snares us. That's coming out of the CSB version of the Bible. That's coming out of the Christian Standard Bible. It's a Bible that we give our youth. A lot of the homeless youth that we minister to have heard of the gospel. They have heard of Christ, but rarely do they come to us having a Bible. And so we started giving them the CSB version of the Bible, and it's a lot easier for them to understand. And it's something that we can branch off of and teach them further doctrines out of the scriptures. So I'll be using mostly the CSB tonight. But when you look at this picture has a chain and a ball tied to it, and it represents a man walking. And when you think about your journey, when you think about any journey, if you walk through that journey, if you walk through that life with this tied on your leg, you're not going to get very far. The goal is that as you're walking and as you're journeying, that you try to loose yourself from every weight and from every burden getting you there. That's the goal. The goal is to do that. But we have to be taught how to do that. We have to be showed how to think. We have to be given an example of how do I shed this weight? How do I lay aside every hindrance and sin that ensnares me? That's not something I wake up knowing to do. You want to know the only thing that no one has to teach you how to do? Sin. All of us that are parents have walked into the kitchen and your child has brownie on their face. And you ask them, did you eat that brownie? No, I didn't eat that brownie. And it's on there. No one had to teach them that. It was just in them. But we have to be taught how to live a holy, righteous life. We have to have an example. Well, how do we do that? How do you walk in a way that pleases God? Well, the beginning part of the verse starts our journey. It says there, at the beginning part of that verse, in verse 1, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and every sin that does easily beset us. So, this large cloud of witnesses sets for us an example of what it should be like to lay aside every weight and every burden. That word therefore means because of, or in conclusion of, or because of these things. And in this case, because we have such a large cloud of witnesses, we can lay aside every weight and every burden that so easily ensnares us. And when you look at who the large cloud of witnesses is,
It's in the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. You see names like Abraham and David and Moses and Jacob, and all these people had horrible mistakes in their life, but they're praised because of the faith and what they can accomplish in their life regardless of the mistakes. They ran a marathon. They experienced a middle, like you and I all experience a middle, but it did not stop them from pressing to the end. And because we have that example, we can do what they did, and we can lay aside every hindrance and every sin in our life. So I want to spend tonight talking about and parsing through some of the phrases and terminologies of this verse 1. And then when we come back after dinner, we'll tackle, I believe it's 2, 3, and 4 when we come back after we eat. But as far as verse 1 goes, I want to look at some of these words here, so that you and I can get an idea of what it's like to persevere through something that's difficult. What is it like to persevere through the middle of life? What is it like to persevere when something is difficult? I know what I should do, but there's 20 steps between here and what I should do, and every step can be difficult. Every step is hard. That's the middle. And God has given us examples of what it's like to travel through the middle so that you and I can follow pattern. We can follow step in step and lockstep with. We do this every day in our life when we say, don't act like a boy, act like a girl. Don't act like a man, act like a woman. Well, what does that mean if we've not seen the example of a man? What does it mean if we've not seen the example of a woman? How do you know that your dog acts like a cat if you don't know what cats act like? Okay, so we understand. We have this cloud of witnesses set for an example for us. Let's look at some of the things that we see here so that we understand what this example is. When you see the word hindrance in the first part of that verse there, and again, this is the CSB version of the Bible there. It says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance. Did you know that a hindrance doesn't necessarily have to be a sin? You get no indication that it's a sin here. In fact, it says, lay aside every hindrance and the sin. What if for you, your hindrance has nothing to do with sin? It has more to do with just you sleep 10 minutes too late every day. God, I can't do a devotion. I'm too busy. And what if God says, well, set the alarm 10 minutes before? You can start with me for 10 minutes. What if your hindrance has more to do with you can't come to church because you have a job that puts you to work every Sunday? And so you can't come here, you can't fellowship, even though the Bible says, forsake not the gathering together of yourselves, and you can't get here because you're working. That is a hindrance to your fellowship with the body of Christ. I want you to get the idea that a hindrance is not something necessarily wrong. It can lead you to something wrong. For instance, the Bible says, now going back up to the great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, Samson, who remembers Samson? Samson had a problem. The Bible says he loved pretty women, and he drove his mama crazy. Why can't he just like the good country home women? Why he got to like these old fast women? And read your Bible. It's right there in the Bible. Read it. It's right there. Well, fellas, is there anything wrong with liking women? No, except if it ain't your wife and if you unmarried. I married a beautiful woman. She's mine. I married her because I liked her. And it took me 20 times to convince her to like me back, but she did. Samson had a hindrance. It was no problem having an affection toward the opposite sex. However, that hindrance led to him sinning. You understand? So there is a hindrance all of us suffer with, and maybe even multiple times a hindrance. Abraham had a hindrance. The Bible says that he had not been anointed in a long time. Come on, adults. He hadn't been anointed until he was 90. Come on, y'all. And Sarah was like, children? He hadn't been anointed in a long time. Some of y'all got it now. Okay. He had a hindrance. Was that a sin? But it caused him to sin by listening to the voice of his wife, and they sent someone named Hagar, and they created Ishmael, and Abraham had to take care of Ishmael for the rest of the existence until God listened to the cry of Sarah, and he had to send Ishmael away. Even still, he had to send Ishmael away with enough things to take care of them. And then when that ran out, the angel of the Lord came to take care of Hagar and Ishmael. Many of us fall victim to what we allow to be hindrances in our life, and we sin and we create an Ishmael. David even had this in his life. And when you go up in the previous chapter in Hebrews 11, you'll see the great cloud of witnesses. And when you look at their life, they all had this hindrance. They all had this thing that they allowed in their life. And most of the times they allowed it, it caused them to enter into a sin. And that's not a good thing. And so when it says lay aside hindrances, I want you to also think of the word excuse is. I want you to think of the word, how come I can't do the will of God? When you think about the word hindrances, I want you to think about what is stopping me from not sinning instead of falling into sin. And so when it says, lay aside every hindrance that's in your life, that takes thought. That means you've got to be honest with yourself. And you've got to ask yourself, why am I still mad at my wife? Why am I still mad at my husband? It's been days. It's been weeks. Why am I still not devoting as much time to the church or devoting as much time to my family as I know I should? What is my excuse? What is my hindrance? Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't begin to lay aside those weights will cause you to fall into sin. And the reason why we fall into sin, the Bible says here, look what after the word hindrance, it talks about a sin. And so a sin is anything that goes directly against the will of God, just simply put. A sin will stop your forward progress. As we're talking about persevering in God, any sin will stop your forward progress in God. But glory be to God for his grace. Glory be to God for his mercy. Glory be to God for the blood of Jesus Christ, where the quicker we get to the cross of Christ for confession and repentance, the quicker we can get back on our race. But how many of us have fallen because we failed to remove a hindrance and we went into sin and then we went and stayed in the gravel pit of our sin? It took us days or weeks or months to get back in the place where we can move forward. That's not the desire of anyone that loves you. Anyone that pastors you, anyone that loves you, anyone that wants to be a part of your life, wants to always see you move forward. Well, that means we have to have a certain mindset when it comes to hindrances and sin. That hindrances can always be overcome and sin can always be forgiven in your life and mine. Always. And so when you look at this, look what it says here. The sin that so easily ensnares us. Think about Abraham, the man I just mentioned. Think about Samson. Think about Moses. Moses had a hindrance. The Bible says the reason he killed that Egyptian was because he thought it was his time as he was in Pharaoh's house. You know, you read the Bible, you know he was raised by his own mother in Pharaoh's house, and his mother had given him his identity. He knew he was Pharaoh's daughter, but chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to live as an Israelite. And when he saw that person whipping one of his kinsmen, the book of Acts says he thought it was his time and murdered someone and then had to flee. He became a murderer. Because he allowed his desire to fulfill the end. Why do we easily fall to sin? Do you think Satan is so tricky that he can always get us? No. Samson fell because the Bible said Delilah asked him and pressed him for days. Please, please, please tell me the secret. Please tell me the secret. Abraham fell because after he became so old, he said, I'm never going to be anointed again. God's not going to touch me. And his wife began to get discouraged, and she came at him, and okay, fine, bring me Hagar. Let's figure out something that we can do. Think about your life. Do you sin when you're fresh? Do you sin most of the things that you do, most of the decisions you make, most of the time that you have stinking thinking, most of the times that you do things that you ought not, is it right after you do your devotion? Is it right after you get up off your knees in the morning and thank God for your life and thank God for your day? Or is it when you're on that last nerve, when you let that sin in front of your eyes one too many times and you fall? Not oftentimes, but when you read this passage, when we get down in this passage, you're going to see the word in here, weary. Strengthen your feeble knees and be not weary. The thought here is that sin can easily defeat you when you allow yourself to get tired because you're carrying a weight. Here's one of the things a marathon runner will tell you. Dress as light as possible. You ever seen a marathon runner that gets a mile from the finish and they can't walk anymore? Their knees and their legs, they're just out. They're done. You can't run the distance that God has for you and I, carrying the weights that you and I are currently carrying. Because what's going to happen is we're going to get to a point where we're going to have to make a decision. And if we're tired from carrying the hindrance, we're going to make the easy choice. We're going to make the sin choice. If you're tired of not having a good job and you've allowed the world to make you think because you're not making a certain amount of money, hindrance, and in your mental framework, you're tired of being looked at by the society and saying, I should be this and I should be that and I should be making that. Well, if I just add this little extra line on my resume, I can get that job. Don't allow yourself to get so tired by what we think are hindrances, what you have made a hindrance, what I have made a hindrance, that you allow sin to so easily get you. Here's what we think when we sin. Sin made me do it. That's what we think. That's what Adam tried to do to God. And sin is saying, I'm not the one who stole it, you stole it. I'm not the one who went there, you went there. I'm not the one who looked too long. You looked too long. This is why the Bible says, married people, don't go too long without giving your husband or your wife Scooby snacks. Because if you do that, you're going to put your husband or wife in a position where they might sin. Not that they're looking for it, not that they're chasing it, but they will get tired. Anyone tired will make a mistake. I mean, am I in the Bible or not? Anyone tired will make a mistake. Even if they're not looking for it, it's going to happen. And we owe it to ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ and brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ to make sure that we are energized and held accountable, making sure that we're not spiritually low. If we allow each other to get to a place where we are spiritually low, we're going to end up failing. And we'll be dropping like flies, dropping like flies, dropping like flies to easy things, things that were easily overcomable. It's Pastor Appreciation Month this month. What a great time to come and energize your pastor. He works hard, maybe harder than me. His congregation is certainly large, and I know that in a large congregation like this one, he, as any pastor, feels the pain of the lives that he is discipling. What a great time to let him know that you appreciate it. What a great time to let him know that the energy that he's away from his wife, the time that he's away from his rest time, and pour that energy back into him so that he does not get tired. Husbands, what a great time to share with your wives that without them in your life, without their encouragement and without their presence, there's no way you can do this by yourself. And wives, what a great time to let your husbands know you're happy that you chose him, because that's most of the time how it happens, and that his protection and his provision, if that's what he is in your life, has been a great source of support for you. And we should not be so fast to just allow ourselves to get tired by the everyday course of this life. I want you to listen to something about with endurance, this next phrase here. So we have here, let's lay aside every hindrance. What are some of the words I want you to think when you look at hindrance? Who remembers? Excuses, right? Weight, things that you can overcome. Samson could have overcome his desire, his strong desire. The Bible says that God allowed him to have it because God wanted him to have a case against the Philistines. But he didn't have to do it that way. He didn't have to do it that way. Abraham could have waited on God if he had enough faith in the promise of God, and he got to the point where he did. But yet, he didn't have to do it that way. He could have overcome that, and so can you and I. And I want you to look at this where it says, let's run our race with endurance. The King James Bible, which is my native language. I speak King James Bible. It's the Bible I grew up with. It's very hard for me to move to the CSB, but I use it more and more just because of the people that are coming to my congregation. I'm trying to change the language I speak into this. And honestly, it's not a bad version of the Bible, so I use it. But I like how the King James renders this. The CSB renders it endurance. The King James renders it patience. Let's run with patience. How do you run a race that you don't know where the end is necessarily? How do you run that race with patience? How do you run that race with endurance? You can't see the finish line. It's not like you're on a treadmill and you set it for 30 minutes and you hold the sides knowing I got 7 minutes left. I can do 7 minutes. In this life, your race is over when you die. And you and I don't know when that is. We can't say to ourselves 10 minutes. We can't say 30 minutes. We can't say it's over. It's over when the clock dings. There is no clock. Draw breath. There's no clock. So how do I have the mindset to run with endurance? The word with, it tells you that you possess this. You can grab this. It's like saying, you, run with him. Grab him and run with him. Like, it's a mindset you can have. It's something that you can take hold of. It's something that you can grab. And when you get the understanding, when you understand that when it talks about running with something and that puts you in possession of it, it means the responsibility to have the mindset to run this race right, not only does it fall on you, but then you have to seek out to attain it, which means there's a few things you have to understand. If I have to run a race with endurance or with patience, I have to understand the first thing, is this going to be a short or a long race? Long race. Did you know that most young people growing up right now, they want what they see their grandparents have right now? Right now. They don't understand that grandmom and granddad, they worked 40 and 50 years to pay for that. They got that. They got their retirement. They have the 401k. They did all the right things. But they're growing up nowadays and they're seeing grandmother and grandfather, if they were fiduciarily responsible, they see these things and they want it now. And it's up to us to teach them the mindset, baby, that's a long race. But you can start today. You know that dollar I gave you? Why don't you put 10 cents in church? Why don't you put 25 of it in an account and spend the rest? And then when you grow up, when I give you $2, put 20 cents in church, put 45 over here, and spend the rest. Have fun with the rest. And teach them what it's like to build something over time. Many of us have the same mindset when it comes to a career, or when it comes to a marriage, or when it comes to raising kids. Make up your mind that, first of all, this life, it's going to be a long life. This life is going to be a life that you need to live to the fullest every day. This life has digits created in 24 hours a day. And just because Monday went by easily, Tuesday may not. And that doesn't mean it's the end of the race, because your mindset is on the end that we don't know the date, which means I need to have patience. I need to grab hold of patience and run my race with patience. How many people go to the gym and work out? Okay. Not a lot. I'm going to make some references. I'm going to make some workout references, so hopefully you get these references. Some people go to the gym, where they work out, they go on the treadmill, they do, they lift weights. But I tried to do something called CrossFit not too long ago. Yeah. It was one of the worst experiences. And I'm a football player. I grew up playing football. I went through college ball. Some of the same extras, some of the same movements they did in college ball. So some of the movements I knew. Jumping up on boxes this high and doing the back and forth thing and doing all this kind of crazy stuff. And then I realized I'm 42. And so in the CrossFit room, it's a big open room. There's no air conditioning. And in the CrossFit room, there's a clock. I don't know if you guys have been in a CrossFit room before, but there's a clock at the back wall. And the coach has all the movements on a wall, and he'll blow a whistle. All right, do this movement for 60 seconds or 2 minutes, whatever it is. Do the move. And the first two or three movements, I was just getting it. Just getting it all over the place, doing it. And then after the third or fourth movement, how much longer we got in this class? I'm finna die in this classroom. How much longer do we have? How much longer do we have? And so the CrossFit coach says, oh, we have a newbie in the room. We have a newbie in the room. And I asked him, how do you know I'm new? Because it's not the same coach every time. These guys are hired to come in. How do you know? He says, because no one that comes here and knows how long the class is keeps looking back at the clock. They know how long the class is. And so they know they have to, this particular class was an hour. They know they have to endure for an hour. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. My mind was not made up that this was going to be H-E-L-L for 60 minutes. My mind said, I'm gonna knock this out. I'm going to get my six pack back. I'm going to take my wife to the beach. I'm going to wear some tights and we're going to get it. That's what my mind was. And then the middle came. Remember I talked about the middle? Then the middle came. And when that middle came, I lost sight of the end because the middle was so hard. And even though quitting CrossFit wasn't a sin, imagine if that was life. Imagine when you're in your marriage and you hit the middle. Come on, married people, there's a middle. Tell the truth. Let these young people know there's a middle. There's a middle. Amen. Come on, tell the truth. There is a middle. But when you remember when you took that vow, the end was stated at the beginning. Till death do you part. And so when you are married to that person with the end in mind, yes, the middle is hard, but it doesn't matter compared to the end. Keep your mind on the end. It's only until we get, this is excusing any extenuous circumstances in a marriage which could happen, abuse and drugs and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about unreconcilable differences. That happens when two people's minds are on the middle. What about your job where God called you to be the salt and light of the earth in darkness? I'm quitting because they don't like me. I'm quitting because they don't treat me right. Be light there. God called you to a place. If you prayed for that job and you quit because they don't treat you right there, what does that say about how you honor the fact that God gave you that job? Don't quit because of the middle. The middle is just the middle. The end is the goal. The end is, let's lay aside the excuse. Let's lay aside the reasonings that could cause me to quit. Let's lay aside what I'm holding on to, my trump card, that will be my excuse for why I stopped doing that. Let's put that down. Let's lay that aside so that I can press forward in Christ. So when it says with endurance, do I run this race like Usain Bolt? You know, like one of those. Is that him? Who is that? Is that Usain Bolt? Yeah. Do I run my race like that? Or do I run my race like those little small marathon people that is just mutant capacity lungs and they run and don't have to stop? And I hate them when I see them. I'm like, I don't forget you. You go run. I'm doing my own thing. I'm walking. You can't run this race with Usain Bolt in mind. He's fast. But I promise you, he cannot beat one of those marathon runners in a 26-mile run. He'll win first 400. First 800, he'll win. And then that middle will hit him. And then that marathon runner will look at him and say, you ran too fast, buddy. You didn't have the end of the race in mind. You had speed in mind. You had accomplishment in mind. God didn't call any one of us to make accomplishments. God called us to be salt and light in the earth. God called us to be the image of his son in the earth, in a fall, in a failed and dying world. God called us to go in places of darkness where we live, work, and play and be his light in those places. He didn't call us to have our mindset on making the best widgets and gidgets and who's-its and what's-its. Because when our mind is set on those things and we don't accomplish them, we quit. Because our mind is on the middle. And we get in the marathon and we cramp because we put all of our money in building the best who's it. And I don't have any more money because it's all gone. And we don't realize it's the middle. There's more life to live. There's more years to build back up. You can be the light of the earth with $0 and with $1 zillion. And it's the same light. It doesn't make it any brighter. It doesn't make it any brighter. Because the name Jesus is all powerful no matter how much money you have. It says this. It says, run the race that is before us. And I'm going to say this, and let me check my time here. I have my little timer up here because I want to make sure I'm responsible over the time. I got 6 minutes. All right, listen. Run the race that is before us. Anybody watch the Summer Olympics? What would it be like if you had the 100, which is one lap around the Olympic track, they get down, and they blow the gun. Everyone runs straight, except one of the runners makes it his business to go to the long jump, and he decides for his race, even though he's in the 100, he wants to jump the long jump. Is he running the race set before him? No. When you think about this word, and it says the race set before us, I want to submit something to you, and I really want you to get this. There is a corporate us, and there is an individual us. It's in the room when it's as if I would say to you guys, all right, guys, let's all of us be healthy today. I'm talking to you as an individual, but I'm also talking to us in the room. The corporate us is South Belt. There is a race set before this church. What is the vision of this church, and are you living it? As a corporate body, what is the race that when you guys got together and formulated and moved here and changed your name, what is the vision that as you prayed it, God said, this is the vision of South Belt. That's the race. Run the race set before us, and there'll be a middle. Because people sell houses, people buy houses, communities change and communities shift, and there'll be a middle, and you'll have to decide, I'm in the middle, what do? I keep my eyes on the end and still press forward to what God has told us our race is. And then there is the individual us. What has God said to me about my life and his will? When Jesus walked on the planet, he went around telling people that when they would ask him, why did you do this and why did you do this and why did you do such and such a thing and thus and such a thing? He would always say, I'm only doing what I've seen my Father do. I'm running my race. I'm doing what he showed me to do. As you grow up, young kids, and for the adults in here, as you've hopefully have come to the place and learned, God has a desire for your life that only you can accomplish. It could be ministries to women, ministries to men, ministries to girls, ministries to boys. It could be putting a disciple group in your home. Guess what a hindrance is? My house is too small. If God said do it, do it. My house is old. I don't think that matters to God. I'm too shy. Well, do you think God considered that when he asked you to do it? I think God would just rather have obedience. You can't run this marathon if you are not willing to get rid of the hindrances and address the sins caused by those hindrances. And so the individual us, the corporate us is easy because we can come together as a group. We can get the vision on paper. We can look at the vision on paper and says, we as South Belt Church, we have an identity. This is our identity. This is who we're going to reach. And this is how we're going to do it. And here's my part in it. I'm good at this. I can do this. I have this much free time. And I can drive forward the race set before our church. It's harder when you're a person because you can hide. You can pretend. You can tell people you did it, but not really do it. You can come home and hug and kiss your wife, and she thinks you're running the race of marriage, and it's fake. And so if we're going to run the marathon as the individual us, we're going to have to get an idea of what is the race set before me. God, what is your will for my life? And again, get away from thinking, I have to make an accomplishment. That's a hindrance to you. God never called any one of us to create the new thing. That may happen, but it will happen in the midst of obedience to him. God never called us to do the biggest thing in all the planet and to send the spaceships to the moon. That may happen, but it will be in obedience to him. God never said, go to the lab and do something that no one else has ever done. That may happen, but it will happen in obedience to him. And so we have to get our minds away from, God, what is your will for my life? What if God says, I just want you to sew socks and give socks away? What if he said something that in our minds was so small? Now, I don't know if he's told anybody that. That's just, I'm trying to think of the smallest thing.
Would you do it?
No, it can't be that. Well, then whose race are you going to run if you won't run yours? We'll find someone else's race. And because we like what they're doing, we'll run their race. Like that 400-meter race he ran to do the long jump. What happens even if he went to do the long jump and he jumped the longest long jump? Will he win? No, why not? He jumped the longest long jump. Why won't he win? It wasn't his race. My race is not the same as Pastor Kevin's. We're both pastors. We've been called to two totally separate groups of people. The God's word is God's word. It's all the same. But the way that I minister and the way that he ministers is as God has led us to. And I promise you, I didn't wake up one day and say, I want to get homeless children off the street. I was in a prayer closet and God said, call your old football coach and share with him some ideas that I just recently gave you. And 4 years later, we have a house with homeless kids in it. Wasn't my idea. It came from God. And it came from me being obedient to him. Here's the goal. And as we get to dinner and then as we get to the second lesson, I want you to have this thing in mind. What are my hindrances? Guys, I promise you, you cannot run your race if you're not taking an honest look at yourself and an honest look at your hindrance and an honest look at what's holding you back. Whatever it is, a frame of thinking, a racism, a prejudice, a website you go to, or stinginess with money, stinginess with sharing, whatever it is, if it is a hindrance, it will stop you from doing the will of God. And if it stops you from doing the will of God, it's a sin that will easily ensnare you. So therefore, we look to the cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses shows you how to deal with the weight, how to deal with the hindrances. When you read about David in the Hall of Witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, it doesn't mention that he was with Bathsheba. He was. It doesn't mention in the Hall of Witnesses in Hebrews 11, it doesn't mention what Abraham did with Hagar, but he did it. You have to go look at their life and see how they managed it. How did they put that weight down? How did David move past the weight of Hagar? Hebrews, Psalms 51. How did Samson deal with what he did with Delilah? How did he move past it? How did he put that weight down? How did he put that burden down? And when you begin to understand what to do with your hindrance and what to do with how you have allowed that hindrance to easily beset you, then we can talk about, and we're going to start talking about that in this next lesson here, then we can start talking about how to run the race. As I close this time right now, I want everybody to just bow your head. Close your eyes and bow your heads. I want everybody to do this. And I'm going to close this. As I was talking, we talked about hindrances. Excuses that you and I have that would stop us from following God. If you know what yours is, raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Raise your hand. I see you. All right, put the hands down. I want to pray for you that you would have the courage, the strength, the wisdom to put that hindrance down. I promise you it's not protecting you. I promise you it's not helping you. But it is hurting you from running your race. It is hurting you from getting to the distance that God has in your life. So, Lord, I pray tonight for everyone that was here, everyone that's here, and I especially pray for everyone who flipped their hand up. Lord, there are hindrances in their life that is stopping them, hindering them, weighing them down from running this marathon called life. I pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would impart to them courage, that you would speak to them directly on how to deal with the excuses, how to deal with the hindrances stopping them from running their race. And as you do so, Father, I ask you that you would give them the joy of a second wind, as many marathon runners talk about, the second wind. And I ask you, Father, that as you give them that second wind, they would run faster and stronger and with more energy than ever before. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.